Good morning to you listening to the special program coming to life from Radio Mirai this morning, the 12th anniversary of the independence of the Republic of South Sudan. 12 years ago here in Juba, by this time, Dr. John Garang Mazelium actually were packed to its capacity. The roads leading from Juba International Airport to that ground was one of the busiest. Our airport in this region was the busiest airport so far. And because all roads, all cameras were on South Sudan when, for the first time, the flags of South Sudan actually was raised, and we had international dignitaries, friends of South Sudan, international partners, and South Sudanese were all looking at us. And there was high hope that the suffering of the people of Southern Sudan by then had come to an end, and people were hoping for a bright future with a high perspective of good life and good education, good health, better infrastructure development across the country, and the economy was going to be doing very well, and we were going to also be one of the best country in the region and also in the world. But 2 years down the line, all these hopes were dashed under the trash. So, how far have we come from 2011 up to date? I'm joined here by the SPLM Secretary for External Relations, Honorable Paul McQueen, who has been at the center of this struggle. Good morning, and thank you so much for coming on a Sunday. You are supposed to be maybe in the church or celebrating somewhere, but you have honored our invitation on this important day. First of all, happy 12th independent anniversary to you.
Thank you.
First of all, I would like to get your perspective on these 12 years since independence of the Republic of South Sudan. Have you, as the leaders of this country, have you lived up to your expectation to ensure that the country people are yearning for is what they lived in?
Thank you, Sunny Martin. First of all, happy Independence Day to the people of South Sudan. And let me congratulate His Excellency General Salva Kiir Mayardit, the President of the Republic, and the people of South Sudan on the occasion of this glorious 9th July Day. It is a day we have paid for. And in fact, as you have asked your question, the first thing is to understand where we are coming from. And this is what the people of South Sudan would like to know, because if you don't know where you are coming from, you don't know where you are going to. So, as a matter of fact, the people of South Sudan have suffered a lot in the history of their life. They put the Hiscos, they put the Assyrians, they put the Romans, and in fact, during the latest invasions, which is the history we are in today, we put with Turks, we put with Arabs, we put with the British. And all these people happen to have enslaved us, they have depopulated our country, they have dehumanized us, and in fact we are marginalized and put at the fifth class citizens in the country. And these were the reasons for them to fight, in fact.
But some people have also said the kind of pain South Sudanese have gone through between 2013 and up to date is worse than what you are talking about.
Yes, we will come to that, because each suffering has its explanation.
Yeah.
The people who came were invaders. They wanted our resources. They wanted to sell us as animals. And in fact, we are not classified as human beings. So the first thing is that we liberated our dignity. We liberated ourselves. We liberated the land. And we sat down. We wanted to build the nation of our dream, which is actually what the SPLM put for. So we pay tribute to the martyrs, those who died even 100 years ago before we were born.
Yeah.
And the martyrs who died in Anyanya, the martyrs who died in the SPLA, SPLM, and the leaders who organized all the resistance, from the traditional resistance led by those of Ariad Makwe, Malwal Matiang, Kona Nog, Mundeng, Budwe, and also General Kiden, who was in Central Equatoria here. These people, we don't talk about them, but this day, we reached this day because of the struggle of these people.
Okay.
They organized our people. And in fact, as you said, we have, after liberating this country, we knew what we wanted. We wanted our people to be the first-class citizens in the whole country without exception. And that's what SPLM put for, such that every citizen is defined by this country as valuable as much as possible, whether this person comes from Raja, from Nimle, from Rumbek, from Kobo, from Ring, from Ridi. We are united by the fact that we are citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm.
So building that kind of concept was the work of the SPLM, because without us doing that, we will not be able again to keep this country. Because this country, everyone is a first-class citizen. Whether he's Salpa Kiir Mayardis or a street person there, they are all the same. They are citizens of this country. That's one thing we need to put into the minds of people of South Sudan. The first thing is to make a citizen happy. What makes a citizen happy is that we bring money and give them to each of them. No. One is to build good schools for them, build roads for them, protect them from insecurity. This is the program of a government, such that every citizen feels proud in the country.
Has that happened in the last 12 years?
We have done it. I cannot claim that it has happened 100%, but we have done it.
Mm-hmm.
One, we have established the institutions of the government from scratch in this country. The institutions we have were actually established by the SPLM. We also built some schools where there were no schools, and this can be attested by anyone in the country here.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply, if you look at the number of buildings in Juba today, leave alone other states.
These are individual buildings,
yes,
not done by the government.
We'll come to them, yes. You can see them. We have schools. Even in some places, there are schools where we have not yet got the children to go there. We have provided some schools. We have started construction of roads. Where there was no tarmac road since the creation of this well,
mm-hmm.
we have done something. Even if it is, say, even it is 5 inches, we have to acknowledge that it is an important addition.
Yeah.
We have actually made our country to have a plaque within the UN, which was not there
before,
since creation. We are members of the regional bodies, whether it is AU or IGAD. We have ambassadors worldwide. We never had ambassadors before, and South Sudan has been known for having those.
Let's look at the local people who are supposed to enjoy the dividend of this peace. Raising flag at the United Nations doesn't put food on the table of a man in Ural West County and all this. How does this peace translate into the welfare of a common South Sudanese have nothing to do with the politics?
I agree with you. One, we do not need to cook food and distribute it,
mm-hmm.
or distribute money, as I said before. We wanted people to be free to work, such that they are not disturbed when they are working,
yeah.
in their farms. I can remember from 2013 up to from 2005 up to 2013, we were leading a good life. All citizens were happy. You can travel on foot up to Ye without obstacles. You can go up to Rumbek, or you go to Bor or to Reed without any problem.
In fact, at night, I am one of the persons who,
yes.
actually went by road from here up to Rumbek without any. At night, we found people in the Mora by the roadside looking up their cattle, but today I can't go.
Yes, you can go. So what happened was that there is a temptation, and it's a phase of history. If people do not sit down,
mm-hmm.
and talk the way we are talking with you now, the country can go into abyss. One, the greed overtook us. Each of us wants to be a president in this country. You want to be a president, I want to be a president, X want to be a president.
No, not each of us. The leaders, they struggle within, because not every South Sudanese want to be a president.
And then everyone wants to be a general in the army. So we want to have even a representation of generals within ethnic groups.
Yeah.
So you can see. So we do not give our time to understand how a government works. So if Sani Martin comes from Rumbek. He's the president, and I come from Torit. I must also say why should I not be the one?
So how will you describe the last 12 years in the life of a common South Sudanese? How will you describe it, to be fair?
In fact, they have suffered. They have suffered. The common South Sudanese have suffered. We have misled them to fight as tribes among themselves. When we were struggling, and the history I said before, these people, they were united. The whole country, the population of people of South Sudan fought for this independence. Now, when greed took over, I would just go say that, you see, the tribe of St. Martin, they are actually cheating us, and we must take from them.
Yeah.
We do not follow the standard democratic process. If you are bad, and I don't want to be working with you, I just pull out and establish my own political party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I develop my program, and I name my party, and I go for elections, and I decampaign you, and convincing the people of South Sudan, so that they see me not as a Mahdi, or not as a Zander, or Dinka, or Nuer, but they will see me as a son of this country with a program. If they reject me, they will not reject me because I come from an ethnic group. They will reject me
because
the way I conduct my programs.
The programs cannot be bought by the citizens.
Yes.
You have.
Yeah.
So now the question is, after all what has happened, and still many South Sudanese are in IDP camps, they can't go to their villages, we cannot produce for our own selves, we are being fed by UN agencies. What do you think, in your own opinion, can be done to at least come out from this cycle of poverty, violence, insecurity, to move forward? Because a country cannot remain like this.
One of them is the mental liberation. The mental liberation is that between you and me, if we go out here, I will trust a Kawaja more than you.
Mm-hmm.
You are my brother. But I will not trust you because you come from a different ethnic group. The same thing, you will not trust me. You will trust a foreigner.
Who created this mistrust?
The mistrust is implanted by some of the elite who actually organize their communities to say that we want to take power from this community. Because they do not appeal to the general population of South Sudan. You appeal to, your sentiments are addressed to an ethnic group. That's where things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a program today and I want to be a leader of this country, I have nothing to do with my ethnic group. They are a very small number. After all, this country belongs to so many people. And anybody, let me tell you, anybody in this country who has a genuine and sound program will actually lead this country without obstacles, because you are addressing the fundamental needs of a human being, not of an ethnic group. And everybody in this country is a human being. Once you address, the people who are in Nadafal will know that you are addressing their needs. The people in Raja will know the same. The people in Yerul will know the same. Akobo will have the same thing. Maridi and Anzara. So it is a fundamental need of the human being that is addressed. If you don't look at people of South Sudan as human beings, and you look at them as ethnic groups, you will actually run the risk of dividing people, creating hatred, and then we are on each other's throat. We'll kill each other.
Yes, 12 years down the line, the people of South Sudan cannot feed themselves. We still continue to import food from our neighboring countries, and yet we are told that this country, you can even plant a nail, it can germinate. There are lands in this country that has never been touched. They call them, I have heard many, many times that we have a virgin land. So, as we move into the 13 years of our own independence, what do you think can be done now by South Sudanese to feed themselves and stop depending on handouts from UN agencies? Because the people who give us this money, who give us this food, they also cultivate. If they are like us, the entire world will crash.
I agree with you that the people of South Sudan can feed the whole of Africa if they go and work with their hands to produce. But the mentality that has been created is a mentality that you eat what you have not planted.
Mm-hmm.
So even the food we are importing is a second-grade food. is a food that okay, some have expired, and you know the history of some of the food items that are being banned now.
Yeah.
So what needs to be done is education. Education is not writing or reading. Education to tell people what should be done. The people now who are in the camps, they get free food. And the people think that they are insecure, that's why they are in the camps. But that's not true. Because some come out here, they travel to states to go and conduct their marriages, and then they come back and they go to the camp. And I think you can even agree with me. Mm-hmm. Because the people who are in these camps are actually not genuinely insecure. They just only want to get free food, mm-hmm. free services.
So how do we stop that?
Education. I'm saying education. If I have people there who come from my area, I go there and I take it as my responsibility. I don't need to be educated or to be sent by anybody.
Yeah.
I go and talk to them. I said, this one is very shameful. This food you are getting is even bad food. And not only that, in fact, they are being dehumanized.
Mm-hmm.
Some are getting pregnant in those camps. Some are not even treated well. Sometimes actually it becomes more insecure, like what happened in Malakal.
That's why if you talk to some of them, they say our villages have been banned, our villages are insecure to stay there. That's why we feel more secure despite the challenges we are going through. It will come back to what we said. Why can't the government ensure that there is total stability in the country so that people can begin tilling on the land? Hence, by the speech of the president, and he's talking about the key word in his address this year, peace and stability. How do you translate that into reality?
Peace will come this way. Now, South Sudan is no longer alone. We have partners that are in the country here. And these people, they say they are working for peace. What they need to know is that our government now is more divided than before, because it's seen as where people go and eat. You cannot have five vice presidents. It is only the first country in the world to have such a number of vice presidents. And who brought them? They are the people who are saying they want to help South Sudan. So it is better now, if these people want to help us to be stable, and if it is their commitment, we need to go for elections, such that a legitimate government will take all accountabilities. While we are now in this government of national unity, any mistake is happening. The way Salva Kiir, SPLM, is the one doing this. You can see the paradox. That one is not really accepted. We cannot accept such a thing. Those who claim to help South Sudan must support us to have good elections, such that whoever is elected to lead this country will actually bring peace. You have the monopoly, the use of force.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, you can see Lagos State now is stable. It's the most stable part of the world. And I can say thanks to General Rintring for keeping that place peaceful. So if we have a government that is having the powers of the whole nation, not divided between many vice presidents, you will see this country getting stable. Because the police, all the security organs will have to act as directed by one person. But now we have many armies. Recently you have heard about the peace mission that became a casualty in Unukur in Ruweng State.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? And it was done by people who are in the government with us. So there's a need to support elections in this country so that this country has a government that is legitimate. Any government brought by agreements of this kind will not be legitimate unless elections are conducted.
Okay. And like I said once again, the 12th independent anniversary is being celebrated amidst a lot of challenges. Economic crisis is happening. I put the same question earlier on to the Honorable Minister of Cabinet Affairs about the economic situation we are in the country. Our SSP has weakened to the lowest point ever against the United States dollar. And people are in IDP camps. The Tanis are coming back home from this ongoing fighting in Sudan. We have humanitarian crisis, according to UN OCHA, 9 1.4 million people are in need of humanitarian assistance this year alone. So has the leaders of this country, do you take not you alone, but I mean the leaders of this country, do you people take responsibility for all the challenges this country is going through?
In fact, not all of us take responsibility. And that's why when something happens, they will point hand at Salva Kiir and SPLM, when in fact all of them are in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why elections is a must.
But so that do you think the leaders of this country, they should take responsibility for all this?
Yeah, they should. Well, without the population, who you cannot be a president or a vice president unless there are people. And it is the interest of these people that makes us to be what we are. So we must take responsibility. We cannot avoid responsibility for the sufferings of people of South Sudan. And that's why we will have suggestions and programs of how to deal with it.
Okay, and how do we move from here? 12 years down the line, we are still ticking. We are now looking towards the 13 years. How do we move as a country from here to get out from this situation we are in?
We'll get out from it only through elections.
Mm-hmm.
One unfortunate statement is one of the senior official in this country, the senior United Nations official in this country, was saying that South Sudan is not capable of running elections. In other words, we want to be in this state of affairs. That thinking must be abandoned.
Yeah.
We cannot be in this state of affairs forever. Otherwise, we will not have generations and we will not have a country. There are many bad things happening to South Sudan now because we are in this situation. We cannot even say no to a foreign aggression today because of the situation in this country. So we actually are being made weaker and weaker every day by the people who claim to be helping us. And this is what we don't want.
So how do you put a loophole, how do you put an end to all this? Is it still, you insist, election is the best way out? Are there other avenues?
What are avenues do you have? Because unless a government is only legitimately elected by the people, say that this government can make decisions, which might not be liked by anybody, but they will make sense to the people of South Sudan.
Okay.
We want our people to be free. We want them to have a lot of agricultural tools. These people, instead of bringing agricultural tools to our people, they are coming and sitting, enjoying and talking. That's all. Talking and blaming also. And blaming, not only blaming, suggesting negative scenarios. So where is that scenario taking us to?
As we conclude our discussion, Honorable Paul McQueen, let's talk about something very crucial, the issue of reconciliation. Do you believe that the government and the partners should really invest heavily in the issue of reconciling our communities in South Sudan? Because we have seen a lot of subnational violence that has also claimed many lives in this country.
Yes, in fact, reconciliation, forgiveness, peace, these components are always together and they can bring stability. Now we have an experience. When we do our peace alone and do reconciliation alone, it lasts. And I can mention examples. One of them, when David Yahya was leading a rebellion with the Cobra faction, we talk one-to-one. We talk as South Sudanese. And that rebellion never surfaced again because it was done by people of South Sudan. We had a very, very, very big peace conference in Ulit in 1999, 2000. And that stopped the fighting that used to occur between the faction, which was called Sim of Riek Machar and then and the SPLA. And those people started to make trade. By then, even we were not yet a government like this. We were still rebels. We had an agreement with Anyanya too in 1988. After 4 years of bloody fighting among ourselves, that one became permanent. There were no foreigners involved. So I'm even wondering, when foreigners are involved working reconciliation, peace reconciliation, and still it multiplies, what does it mean? It means that our solutions can come from ourselves. If we are defending on the outside support for peace or reconciliation, it won't work.
Okay.
That's what I have seen.
All right. And finally, what is your message on this 12th anniversary to the people of South Sudan listening to you out there? Despite the challenges they are going through, I see many South Sudanese are resilient. I was moving last night in some parts of Juba. People are jubilating all over.
In fact, it is true. What I can tell the people of South Sudan is that, one, they must get united. They were united in the suffering when they fought to liberate this country, and that unity should not be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever has come is a piece of history that we must identify and abandon. It is bad. What is happening, whether it is tribalism, nepotism, corruption, we have seen that it is disadvantage to us. Also, we can accept it. If you call me a Taposa today or a Moro, and I'm proud to be one, I will not say, why do you call me a Taposa? Because a Taposa is a citizen. A Moro is a citizen. A Zanda is a citizen. I can be any of these people. Such that we don't see a difference because we are citizens of this country and we are people who are poor. Second is that whoever, whether you are in the government or you are in the business community, never collaborate with the foreigners to loot this country and undermine the sovereignty of South Sudan. Don't do it. It is bad. It is a sin. And South Sudanese from anywhere have the opportunity to lead this country, or lead this nation. You just seek the democratic mandate of the people of South Sudan, the standard mandate that we need. If we do this, when we forgive ourselves, work hard to defend on ourselves, because Egypt is using the water of the Nile, and it has more food than South Sudan, where the Nile comes from. Foreigners, the Nile belongs to South Sudan, the water belongs to South Sudan, but foreigners are the ones using the water of the Nile and selling it to the people of South Sudan. That mentality must stop. We need to work with our hands and be dirty. Whether it is farming or is carrying water, we need to do it ourselves. And I am actually appealing to the youth of this country who are all the time putting themselves in suits because they want to be ministers, they want to be governors. Let them stop that. Let us go to the field. Let us work. In a very short time, the whole world will defend on South Sudan, will help everything that we need in this country. And so we work for elections. If you don't want SPLM, work peacefully, not violently, to vote for the party you want.
Okay.
If you are an SPLM, work peacefully, not violently, to vote for SPLM. Never kill a South Sudanese because you want A or you want B. No. These are our leaders. These are our leaders. These are our people. We must have that spirit of reconciliation. I wish you a happy Independence Day.
Thank you so much, Honorable Paul McQueen, SPLM Secretary for External Relations, and thank you very much for coming to share your message with us on this important day. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
SPLM Secretary for External Relations, Honorable Paul McQueen, talking there to us. That the youths who are always in suits, sitting idle under trees, under shades in Juba, waiting to be appointed as a minister, go and begin doing something for yourself.